Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh boy. Get your tissues ready. I might need them too. If there's any lying around, because I feel like I'm on the verge. Oh boy. Lives transformed is what we're talking about at the moment, and as I was meditating on what to bring today, it became very clear to me how simple that process is to be transformed. But we, for some reason, we've overcomplicated things. We've overcomplicated that process, and we've put being transformed into, that's a really hard basket. The only reason that it's become hard is because we don't like change. As human beings, in our humanity, in our flesh doesn't like change. But it's easy, really. And this is how easy it is to be transformed. Does anyone here feel like, yep, I could do with some more transformation in my life? Anybody? Yep. Great. All of us. Me too. Transformation is simple. This is all you have to do. If this is all you take away from this morning, let it be this. Don't take your eyes off the one who transforms you. Don't take your eyes off the cross. That's it. If you constantly gaze upon him, he will change you. That is how much he loves you. He loves you too much not to transform you. We've heard this said for a long time that, you know, people might say, well, he loves me just the way I am. He actually loves you in spite of how you are. And he loves you too much to leave you that way. Because he's coming for a spotless bride. Spotless. How good we got to celebrate an engagement this morning, because now they're in preparation mode. The bride is preparing herself to be married. We are the bride of Christ. And right now we are preparing ourselves for him coming. And what does that preparation look like? It looks like transforming yourself. I'm gonna start with the end in mind, and this is the end that I have in mind, is that I feel strongly that there's a lot of people here this morning that are going to be born again. Again. They're going to be born again, again. And we're already hearing the testimonies of that happening, where people are saying, I got saved 20 years ago, but only a few weeks ago I got born again. And this doesn't feel like that. Now I feel born again. I had one foot in the world and one foot with God, but now I feel born again. And I believe it. that, and Mum has said this for many years, that we are going to be surprised at who responds to the altar, who responds to being saved, because we've probably thought they've already saved, and they might have thought it as well. And what I mean by that is there's people are going to be waking up this morning. So if that is stirring in you today, you do not need to wait for me to say, now's the time to come to the altar and respond, because you can respond to God anytime He calls you. If you feel a burning in your heart this morning, you can respond to Him at any point. I'm giving you permission right now. So I kind of thought, well, if I'm going to talk about lives transformed, this is how I feel about it. I feel, well, if you want to be transformed, you got to put Jesus first. But I don't even think first is enough, actually. Because He is all in all. Jesus is everything. It's not enough just to put Him first. Do you understand what I mean by that? He is everything. And we've already, like, Jason's communion this morning, he was, like, starting to preach my message, and I'm like, yes, bring it, bring it, bring it. Because He is all in all. He wants all of you. He doesn't just want the Sunday you. He wants you every day. And for this awakening to actually happen in your life, and it's already begun. It's already begun in so many of us, but I just feel like this fire is going to absolutely burn through the place like a wildfire. Like, you know, like when the bushfires, you know, when they start and whatever and all that dry grass, and it just like comes through so fast. You know why? Because there's so many of us that are already burning. The fires have already started. And if you stand too close to someone that's on fire, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. I'm just going to touch on a few scriptures here. You don't even have to turn to them if you don't want to. But in Romans 8:29, it talks about being conformed into the image of His Son, that we're predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son. And if you put that next to the scripture that we've been in a lot in Romans 12 about being transformed by the renewing of your mind and not being conformed to this world, well, this is what you get to be conformed to. If it's not the world, it's into the image of His Son. And in 1 Peter 1:15, it says, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. Oh, I'll say that slower. Shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. For Scripture says, you are to be holy because I am holy. And in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. And in the King James, it starts that verse off be ye followers of me. And that word be, it actually means come to pass, be made, be done, become, arise, be fulfilled, be married to, be preferred. That's a lot in a little two-letter word, be. But it's loaded because of the significance of what it carries. That it's no small thing to be conformed into the image of the Son. It's to be married to him. A duplicate of. A life transformed looks like Jesus. That's what all of those verses are actually saying. That when someone looks at me, they see Jesus. When someone looks at you, they see Jesus. That's what it means to be conformed into his image, into his likeness, some of the different versions say. But here's the part that is a little hard to handle for some of us. It'll cost you. Jesus told, we see in Matthew 19, that Jesus told the rich young ruler who was asking him, well, like, what do I need to do to be saved? That's my paraphrase. And he says, well, you need to keep the commandments and you need to la, 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 la. And he's like, oh, I'm already doing all that. What else do I need to do? So Jesus says, well, sell everything. Sell everything and follow me. And we know in the story, he went off in a huff, the young man, because he didn't want to sell everything. And Jesus says to the disciples at that point, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person who has all of his value and all of his identity in the things he owns, in his status, in the monument that he has built for himself, than to enter the kingdom. I don't want to be like the rich young ruler. Does anyone else? You don't want to be like that. We read that story and we go, oh my gosh, that guy totally missed it. Like, he really missed his opportunity. He was even talking to Jesus himself and he still walked away offended. He was actually offended. Sorry. He walked away offended. And we would read that and go, well, that's ridiculous. Like, if I was in that position, I would never react that way. I would never react that way. Like that, oh my, what, he missed it. Reality check. We miss it every day. We miss it every day. And these are the ways, some of the ways that we might miss it. Is when we feel him calling us gently to come and be with him, to come and spend time with him in the secret place. And we turn on the TV instead. Or we hear his voice and we pick up our phone and scroll endlessly until who knows how much time has passed. Or we hear his voice and we pick up the drink instead. Or we've had a hard day. We've had a testing day, a trying day. People at work have annoyed us to no end, or you know, the children are just pushing all the buttons because they know where they are to push. And at the end of the day, you were just like, I have the right to indulge in all of my vices that make me feel good. I deserve it after the day I've had. Instead of going into your room, and as the word says, closing the door and spending time with the Lord. These are the ways that we miss it, and it is just as significant as the rich young ruler who chose his worldly possessions over Jesus himself. But we don't put them on the same level because, well, that doesn't seem as bad as that. But every time we push him away, our heart is hardened towards him. And it becomes more difficult to hear his call when he does. Let's turn to Matthew 6. I'm going to be in the Amplified for this one. It's a rarely quoted verse, so you might not know it. Matthew 6:33 in the Amplified. And I'm asking you to turn to it because I want you to see this for yourself and that I'm not just making this up. Matthew 6:33 says, "But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, and strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also." Or besides. I'm in the new amp, not the classic amp. I'll read it again, just in case some of you aren't familiar with this verse. Yeah, I am trying to be funny. "But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also." We know this verse so, so well. However, I've lost count the amount of times it's misquoted. Because in our humanity, we like to pick out the bits we like most and use those and leave out the rest. Yeah? "Seek first the kingdom and all of these things will be added to you." Did you notice what I missed there? Has anyone else heard the verse quoted in that way, or is it just me? Just a few people. I can't even tell you how many times I've heard it. People will just say it off, just let it fly out of their mouth. "Seek first the kingdom and all of these things will be added." As if you can separate righteousness from the kingdom. But you can't. "Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness." And in this version, it says his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, which is holy. It's holiness. You see, we've reduced seeking the kingdom, that part of the verse, we've reduced that down to church attendance. I'm ticking the seeking kingdom box today by coming to church. Now I have this expectation that all the things that I want are going to be added to me. I'm not wrong. It's called consumerist Christianity. But God is longing for his children to walk in righteousness. Why? Because when his kingdom is first and we walk as righteous sons and daughters of God in holiness, the stuff doesn't matter. This stuff doesn't matter. You see, the rich young ruler couldn't do it. Because the stuff had him. It had him. If we truly seek the kingdom, then Jesus must be first. He must be all. He must be all. And I should have brought my pen so I could just edit that bit. Jesus must be all. For Jesus to be all, we cannot have other idols. I understand that this is a bit of a hard, sobering word. But let me just reference what I said at the beginning, that God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. So this is actually a message about love. It's a message about grace, even if it doesn't feel like it. We cannot have other idols. God is a jealous God. If you've ever spent some time reading the Old Testament, it's pretty full on. It's full on. Like, there's some gnarly stories in there where the Israelites totally miss it. They've got no fear of the Lord. And this is one story. The ground literally opens up underneath them and an entire tribe gets swallowed up and falls through the earth. And then the earth closes back up and they're never to be seen again. Like that is like Hollywood script, like weird. Whoa. But it's an illustration of how jealous God is over you. He is so jealous over you that he sent his only son and poured his judgment out on him on the cross so that he could have all of you once and for all, have all of you. But this is what struck me in reading these stories, is that God is no less jealous over you now than he was in the Old Testament where we read these crazy stories. He is just as jealous now. But the floor just isn't opening up and swallowing us at the moment, thankfully, because he poured out his judgment. But his heart still beats for you in the same way, which is why we cannot have any other idols. And the fear of the Lord needs to come back into the church. And it is, because I'm seeing it, but more. More, Lord. Sometimes we have idols that we don't realize are idols. And here's a really sneaky one that I feel the body of Christ needs to be aware of, especially in today's culture where everyone has an itch for significance. We can't be so busy building monuments in his name that it becomes an idol and we completely miss him altogether. What could a monument be? It could be anything that you want to achieve, and you stick the name of the Lord over it to justify you doing it. That's a whole message in itself. Jesus is not a consultant that you check in with and occasionally. I'm just going to use this as an example, but this actually relates, it goes across all things, but I just need an example. Let's say you own a business and you've decided it's going to be a kingdom business. Good. It should be. And you, all for the glory of God. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to, you know, provide this service, and it's kingdom business, and I'm going to influence the people that are coming into my business, and it's all going to be for the glory of God, and yada, 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 yada. Awesome. But unless you are ready to sacrifice that business on the altar before God and give it up in a moment if he asks you to, then it's not really a kingdom business. Obedience is everything, because that's how he knows he's got your heart. Now just translate that example onto any other area of your life that you have. If you want children, you better be ready to give them over to the Lord when he gives them to you. Or else they're just going to be something else that fulfills you. And that never works. God will transform you if you let him. It might not be instant, because we, you know, in the charismatic movements, which I guess we are a part of, I guess, well, I don't really know what we are, but non-denominational. We love an encounter. We love them. We love getting slain in the spirit. We love being plastered on the altar. We love the goosebumps. We love the fire of God. We love that. We love the prophetic word that comes from the prophet that reads our mail, and we love it. And it's all important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not minimizing any of it, but we've put all of the success of our transformation on those moments alone. When I have seen, and I know many of you have too, I have seen more transformation occur in the choices that people make at home. So much more. And that's not glamorous, that stuff. That's hidden. That's secret. But it changes you. You cannot put Jesus on the same level as coffee. I know that sounds funny, but how many Instagram posts have I seen where people are saying, all I need is coffee and the word. Jesus and my coffee. Come on. You've seen it. Have you? Or is that just my algorithm? Like, just the coffee word algorithm. Like, it's cute. Oh, it's cute, because now everyone knows you've been reading your Bible, brownie points, boop, 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 whatever. But you can't put Jesus on the same level as caffeine, as another idol that you have. I drink coffee, sorry. Okay. I do. I'm not saying it's bad. Get my point there. It's not the same. And if you understood that, if you had the revelation of the cross of Jesus and who he really is and his holiness, you would come in here on Sunday and worship him fully. Fully with all of you. And your personality is irrelevant in the way that you worship him. Jesus doesn't care if you're an extrovert or you're an introvert or you're somewhere in between. He requires all of you in the way that you respond to him in worship. It's just the fear of man. Oh, but I'm quiet and I'm reserved and I'm a bit shy. And I get that everybody's different and we're all wired differently, but when the fire of God gets on you, none of that matters. You just can't help but pour it out. And maybe if you did that, the person next to you that needs a breakthrough will get their breakthrough. It's more important. It's more important than how comfortable you are. Really. Once you get a glimpse of his majesty, you'll keep coming back. Your hunger changes everything. So get hungry. And if you're not hungry, ask him to make you hungry. Lay yourself out on the altar, and like Kate said this morning, become a landing place for his fire, and you'll get hungry.